I'm Sam Wood. Thanks for spending some time with us. Turning our attention to local politics this half hour. Joining us in studio, it is McLean County Board Vice Chairman, Republican Jim Soldner. Jim, welcome back, sir. Thanks for being here.
How are you? Nice nice afternoon.
Yeah. Doing good. It's been a long week, as I'm sure you're aware, with Election Day Tuesday. We'll get to that in just a second, but also another reason it was a busy week for you. Big vote at Tuesday's County Board meeting on this Shenoa Wind Farm. Give us your take, Jim.
Yeah, it... This will be two meetings in a row where our meetings went over two and a half hours, and normally they're more like a half hour, 45 minutes. But we had lots of speakers that signed up to speak to the full board to give their opinion. In general, it was pretty much the same information that we got from Invenergies. It's going to be 58 turbines, and these are taller. These are probably the tallest ones in the state. They're definitely the tallest ones in the county. They measure roughly 550 feet tall. Most all the other ones around at Ellsworth and Carlock are 440 feet tall, so they're 100 feet taller roughly. Mm. And the generator puts out about one-third more power. So in other words, you know, you'll have more output from the total wind towers than you would normally. So, again, there's always pros and cons. And my main concern has always been property rights for the farmers, an opportunity to give them a chance to earn some more income. On the other hand, we have to protect the non-participating homeowners. And I think we've tried to do that. Again, I know some of those people will disagree with us. But the Zoning Board unanimously passed it to send it on to us, the county board, and we passed it 16-3. And again, there were 14 stipulations to the agreement, including they have to have a road use agreement in place. They have to plant some vegetation strips to help minimize erosion. There were five towers specifically that needed to be 2,000 feet from a specific residence. And I believe the reason for that was these five towers were surrounding this one house. And I think they felt like it was almost almost too much to have them all there at 1,500 feet. So they decided to set them back a little ways. Hmm. There's also going to be some more sound studies. And another thing that was a concern was the financial assurances made by the company that if the time comes when they have decommissioning, that they can financially take care of that. And so, we're asking for them to make 10% of that number the first year, 50% by the sixth year, and 100% by 11 years. So, anyhow, again, it was a well-debated topic. I know a lot of people say, well, how many more of these wind farms are we going to do? Right now the issue is that the transmittal lines are almost to capacity. Mm. So you really can't put more and more power on those lines without someone improving those. So, and that's quite costly. So I don't expect any more in the near future. Again, it may be too soon to tell, but I think right now it's going to be, this will be it for a while.
Sure. Well, and you mentioned some of that rural I don't know if disappointment's the right word, but a little bit of rural dissent maybe is a better way to put it towards these the wind farms. Can you talk about some things you heard? I'm sure there was some public comment. What were some of the concerns from rural folks?
Unfortunately, there's all kinds of stories out there. You go to other states and there's talk about vertigo or issues with dizziness because of the electromagnetic rays. I'm not sure there's been any actual proof of that.
Right.
You also hear about the possibility of lower property values, and there again for the farmers that's not the case because they have a guaranteed income for part of their acreage.
Right.
For the unparticipating landowner or homeowners, I don't think there's been proof or evidence that that's happened in the wind farms that have been here for a while. And part of the problem is that houses out in the county don't sell that fast.
Right.
So, probably in the past few years, there's only been a handful of houses that sold. So it's really hard to gauge a trend.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think those are probably a couple things. Again, the flicker effect, the noise issues. And again, we try to mitigate that as much as we can.
Very good. Let's move on to some of these road improvements over on Tawana Barnes and Ireland Grove. That has been a topic of discussion for some time. We got some news on that front.
Yes, actually, we went ahead and approved a couple weeks ago, we kind of were waiting on the city of Bloomington to come on board. Again, we have an intergovernment agreement with them. Mm-hmm. And so they agreed to this $300,000 improvement, which is quite a bit less than the $1.6 million that we had planned initially. Mm-hmm. And I understand their point of view. Again, we're all hurting for money. They have issues in the town and the city that need to be taken care of. This, to me, will be more of a convenience issue for people going to State Farm from the north, because mm-hmm. it's a right-turn lane for South Barn, Towanda Barnes Road onto Island Grove Road. And there, obviously, it's a safety issue also. If people don't have to wait so long, they won't get impatient. I'm a little disappointed. I hope we do something in the near future on the east side of Towanda Barnes Road, on Island Grove Road, because that's where the schools are. That's where the students go, and I'm just concerned about safety over on that side of the road too. But I'm happy we got something done, and at this point, something's better than nothing.
Yeah, I hear you there. On to a Central Illinois Regional Airport, an attempt to get some legislation through that would expand its tax base. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I know Scott had Carl Olson on yesterday morning talking about it, mm-hmm. and he had, you know, he's got some valid points, I guess. You know, he says that they're concerned about the federal government and the possibility of them doing away with the funding for traffic control or whatever. And mm-hmm. I guess that's a valid point. But to me, what you're doing is you're imposing your tax burden on part of the county that may not really aid or benefit from the airport. Now, granted, any time we raise the EVA, it's good for everybody, but the people in the eastern part of the county may go to Champaign to get on the airplane or whatever. So the other thing is, I think that he mentioned that they don't really have any need for the money right now. It's more looking for the future. Mm-hmm. But to me, if they spread out the tax base, and if they, let's say they double the EVA of the airport, then by common sense, you should be able to lower your levy in half to have the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't said they're willing to do that either. So I know there's a movement by the rural mayors maybe to do something, at least to object or resolutions to try and fight it. And again, personally, I'm opposed to it. Now, I'm not speaking for the county board, because sure. we do have county board members that do live in the city and town of Normal, and so I can't speak for them.
Well, in terms of how aggressive the expansion is, do you know? Because I'm ignorant on that point. How far are they trying to extend this?
Well, they want to extend it to the entire county.
Oh, wow.
They want to, you know, right now the people in the city of Bloomington pay the tax for that, mm-hmm. for the airport, and they want to extend it to the entire county. I guess if that's the case, why just stop at the county?
Right.
You know, if they believe people from Pontiac use the Central Illinois Regional Airport, why not tax Livingston County or Woodford or whatever? So I think there's going to be a lot of discussions yet. Again, they tried this. They tried to get a local legislator involved a year or so ago. They didn't seem to bite on that. They've got somebody now from Belleville that's willing to introduce some legislation. So we're hoping that we can have some more dialogue before something's decided.
Yeah. We're talking with Jim Soldner this afternoon. He is vice chair of the McLean County Board. On the topic of mental health, there's this mental health initiative, and I think, you know, we're about to talk about Tuesday's election, and I think that was a big point that a lot of candidates made, was McLean County's role in mental health services. Tell us about this initiative.
Well, it's something that actually Chairman McIntyre has kind of spearheaded this, and we were involved with a White House group that's the data-driven justice initiative, and we're only at one of the few counties in the country that is involved in this. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get data on just exactly who we need to look at for mental health problems. And again, right now the emphasis is those people that are incarcerated, but we're trying to look at people all over the county. Mm-hmm. And so what we're trying to do is we actually passed amendments so that we can hire a behavioral health coordinator to help. You know, we're getting a fourth of 1 cent now of the county sales tax for mental health, and so hopefully that will help us find, you know, some answers. We're also working with the University of Illinois Chicago. They're giving us some information, and so again, the other thing we're trying to find is some way to house people, not just in the jail, although we are doing this mental health expansion. We're trying to find the right way of doing it, and unfortunately, this, you know, the state's closed some facilities around, and so those people don't have anywhere to go but either homes or the jails or hospitals.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on to some election talk, I did want to hit on the nursing home. There's been a lot of headlines about that, especially this new Blue Ribbon Committee that was formed. Give us an update on that front.
Well, actually, they have been working now. They were appointed in February. They've been working some time. They've come up with some great solutions. They're actually going to make a report to the Health Committee on Monday at the County Board. There's 10 members of the community that are former CEOs or former heads of organizations that have been involved in housing for senior citizens and others. And so we've got a lot of mind trust in there that are working on this. And, there again, I hate to keep bringing up the state of Illinois, but they're kind of they're kind of been our problem, honestly, because some of our main issues is, when we have Medicaid patients, it takes 6 or 8 months to get reimbursement from them, from the state. If that person happens to pass on during that time, they kind of put our file in the bottom of the pile and kind of forget about us. So the other thing is it takes them 4 to 6 months to determine whether somebody's eligible for Medicaid. Hmm. So in the meantime, we're housing that person in the nursing home, hoping that they get Medicaid. And again, if they pass away, then we're stuck with that bill. So that's a couple reasons why we are, we're having problems there financially. The other thing is Affordable Care Act, there's a thing called the Affordable Care Organization, and they have a seal of approval. They want hospitals to send their short-term patients, if you go to a nursing home for rehabilitation, they want to send them to a 4 or 5-star home or hospital, or a nursing home, sorry. And so our nursing home was named a 4-star nursing home a few months ago. It's taken a while for the Affordable Care Act people to recognize that. And so again, we have a short census right now because we could use more patients. It's just a matter of having them being recommended by hospitals.
Jim, I want to close with some election talk today. Big election day locally on Tuesday. Before we get into the weeds, just your takeaway from the results.
Well, I think that, first off, I think we're all disappointed we didn't have a little better participation. I think that the Democrats and the Libertarians have been working a little harder this time, and they had candidates for a lot of offices. So we really expected maybe a little bigger turnout. I think that I know that there's been some reports that kind of, as Mark Twain said, reports of my death are premature. The Republican Party isn't dead yet, but we're going to have to work. Obviously, we're going to have to work. In the past, it's kind of been a given that if you're a Republican, you're going to be elected in the county, and that's not the case anymore. So I think it's motivated us to work, and there's going to be some changes on the board, and sometimes change is good. I know, we're losing a lot of experience with Paul Segabiano, and that's going to be missed, but hopefully we can move on.
Talk a little bit about that race, because we're going to have Paul on tomorrow afternoon, but, 40-year veteran on the McLean County Board, defeated handily. I think Chana Wachinski picked up 70% of the vote in that District 8 race. And I know there was some comments about Chana Wachinski about being a community organizer, right, on that Facebook page.
Yeah.
I just want to give you the chance to respond to that, because
right.
I didn't even know about it. Howard had mentioned it during an interview with Wachinski on election night. What did you mean by that?
Well, I guess I meant, and again, it probably sounded like I was pointing her out. I just felt that if a community organizer is so impassioned about a cause, no matter what it is, that they might not be willing to compromise when it comes to working with other people on the county board or whatever. And so that was my concern. And again, she may not be that way. Maybe it was premature for me to even mention that, but that was just my opinion. And so that's what I said, and I stand by it because that was my opinion.
Sure. But you do bring up a good point in terms of reaching across the aisle, right? That's important for a McLean County board member, especially when Republicans, I mean, you guys dominate the board. What's the numbers at 10 to 5?
Well, it's currently 15 to 5.
15 to 5, okay.
Right. So again, it's a case where we have very few items that are political. Pretty much we talk about stuff dealing with a whole range of things. So there are very few partisan issues. And the ones that we do have, we worked good with the Democrats. The Republicans seem to. So, I don't think it should change. I just think it's just a matter of us all taking the time to compromise.
Sure. All right, very good. We have ran through all of our time. But that again, Jim Soldner, he is the vice chair of the McLean County Board, a Republican as well. Jim, always appreciate it, sir. We'll check in here in just a little bit.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.